Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, hello, folks, and I am glad to be back. Hello, Johnny, how are you?
I am fantastic, as always, my friend. It's good to have you back, brother.
Yeah, it's good. I've been globetrotting around the world talking about this topic today of oneness and why it will define the next generation of the best and the worst companies. And I really do believe that this is true. And the more I get exposure to teams and different companies, the more I realize the reality of the work that is needed out in corporate America to make this transition. But I want to start out. I recently finished an event for Mercedes-Benz out in Novi, Michigan. And I ended. I did two different events with a letter that many of you probably have seen already that Steve Jobs wrote on his deathbed. And I want to read it to you very quickly because I think it really frames the discussion of why the millennials and Generation Z are pushing this need and desire for balance, work-life balance, and understanding of connection to self. So listen to this letter. This is Steve Jobs speaking. I reached the pinnacle of success in the business world. In others' eyes, my life was the epitome of success. However, aside from my work, I have little joy. In the end, wealth is only a fact of life that I'm accustomed to. At this moment, lying on the sick bed and recalling my whole life, I realize that all the recognition and wealth that I took so much pride in have paled and become meaningless in the face of impending death. In darkness, I look at the green lights from the life-supporting machines and hear the humming mechanical sounds as I can feel the breath of God of death drawing closer. Now I know when we have accumulated sufficient wealth to last us our lifetime, we should pursue other matters that are unrelated to wealth. Should be something that is more important. Perhaps relationships, perhaps art, perhaps a dream of younger days. Nonstop pursuing of wealth will only turn a person into a twisted being like me. God gave us these senses to let us feel the love in everyone's heart, not the illusions brought by wealth. The wealth I have won in my life cannot bring with me. What I bring with me is only the memories precipitated by love. That is the true riches which will follow you, accompany you, giving you strength as the light and the light to go on. Love can travel 1,000 miles. Life has no limit. Go where you want to go. Reach the height you want to reach. It's all in your heart and in your hands. What is the most expensive bed in the world? The sick bed. You can employ someone to drive the car for you, make money for you, but you cannot have someone bear the sickness for you. Material things lost can be found, but there is one thing I have found that can never be found when it's lost, and that's life. When a person goes into an operating room, he will realize that there is one book he has yet to finish reading, the book of a healthy life. Whichever stage in life you are right now, with time, we will face a day when the curtain comes down. Treasure love for your family, love for your spouse, and love for your friends. Treat yourself well. Cherish others. Isn't that amazing?
It's beautiful. You know, and I think that, I mean, how do you follow that up? I think, you know, it keeps it in perspective. The one thing that Steve Jobs had that none of us have, you know, unless we're in his position, is you don't know when that time is going to be. So that's not something that should go on the to-do list for tomorrow, next week, or next month. That's today, and that's the now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great letter. I mean, it's dead on.
Well, it's
right,
true.
Daniel.
He's dead. You know, I mean,
exactly
here's a guy.
Right.
And when I read this to the folks in the different corporate settings that I was in, I mean, it's a very deep letter from somebody that everybody knows. Everybody knows because most of the people in those rooms had some sort of Apple device on them. Some sort of Apple
yep.
device. And so when we think about oneness, and when we think about self-awareness, and when we think about mindfulness, one has to begin to wonder if, I mean, when we think about it, 73% of our waking hour, 73% of our waking hours is spent at work. 83% of the people at work in the U.S. are absolutely stressed out. So when you look at that, get this, and 45% of employees in the U.S. marketplace don't ever take a vacation. So we definitely have a quandary here. And one of the things that I love about this topic is with all of the process that we have gone through, all of the different ways that we've trained our people to be, from good to great, following the buffalo, so many books out there, so many different ways. We have exhausted ourselves in finding ways of finding or squeezing money out of the bottom line, except for this one area of teaching our people to be mindful at work. Proving with most companies that have actually done this kind of work that 20%, that the numbers are showing that there's an increase in 20% of productivity with those that are engaged in some sort of mindfulness at work. So it's very timely, and I think the topic, the actual headline about it will define the next generation of the best and worst companies is that those companies that refuse, not because they don't understand it, but because the people our age, Johnny, or older, are resistant, which is natural for the course of history, resistant to the idea of having this type of modality, this type of exercise in the workplace, only because personally I believe that they're scared of their own shadow. They're scared that they'll be found to be weak, right?
Yep. It's what you don't know. What you don't know, it scares you. And I think that we talk about, you know, you can talk about, you know, I'm getting on the upper end of the millennials here, but you talk about, you know, the younger millennials, the Generation Z kids that are, you know, the young ones that are out there today. I think it's really important that before you get into any conversation about diversity, right, about inclusion, about any of those conversations, you need to stop for a moment and say, at the very, very core of all of that, what are we talking about? And so you have to go micro for a minute. And if you think about, you know, if you could put yourself in a frame of mind and pick the one person in your life that you know more about than anyone else. I'm not necessarily talking about your spouse. Let's just say your friend, best friend, that you know more about them, that you know about their upbringing, you know more about their culture, you know about their traditions, their habits, their behaviors, what they love, their passions, their dislikes, their fears, all of those things. And if you were to take that level of intensity, that level of awareness, and extrapolate that and multiply that out times the number of employees, just take from a leader perspective. And again, we can go back. We're not just talking about business. We're talking about everyone leads in some way, shape, or form. But if you could get that level of insight and wisdom about every single, we're going to use the language of employees, every employee on your team. Because here's the other end of it. We've talked about this multiple times on the show. Every single human being on the face of this beautiful earth is a miracle. Every one of us, no exception, that is the one constant. Every single one of us have been blessed with amazing gifts, more than one. We all have this beautiful portfolio of things that we can do as well, if not better, than any other human being on the planet. Now, we sometimes self-sabotage, through fear we don't express it. You know, we don't scream it out at the top of the mountain, at mountaintops, et cetera, et cetera. Let's stay away from that conversation for a moment. That's a different show. But we've all been given these absolutely amazing gifts. And all of those amazing gifts, regardless of what the talent is, they begin when we're children. They begin in the countries we're born, through the homes we're born. They go through the traditions, the things on the weekends with our families, our spiritual beliefs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is only when we as leaders and human beings stop long enough to say, I love you, yes, the L word, I love you enough that I want to learn everything I possibly can, and if necessary, you can say within HR-friendly environments, but I want to learn everything I possibly can about you, because it's important to me as a person, as your leader, for you to know that I value every ounce of who you are. And when you can do that, you start doing really purposeful work and start creating environments, what we call culture, where people know that you generally do care about them, even beyond how many children I have, what's their names, when their birthdays, where you truly understand what makes each individual tick, that, when you can see the soul, the beauty, beyond the color, beyond the race, beyond sexual preference, all that, the beauty of each individual as they are deep down in their soul, when you start pulling that out and you multiply that times all the number of employees that you've been fortunate enough to be allowed to lead, and you put that in a room together, the most beautiful things happen. And you know what? What's really cool is one of the sidebar results of it is high productivity, amazing performance, happy employees, low turnover. Also, you know why? Because they work at a place where they know the boss cares about them. They work at a place where, and again, they work at a place where they know the boss cares about them. There are organizations, large and small organizations, in the United States and across the world that, let's just say, have multiple layers. Let's just use the example. There's 100 various leaders in the company. You may have and I will tell you, in most companies, it's a small percentage, that you can have the extremes. You may have 5 leaders that live by and support the mentality that I just shared briefly, and then you'll have those that are completely driven by outcomes. They don't give a flying fart what you do when you're away from work, and who lead by, you know, whether it's fear, pressure, whatever the case may be. In that same organization, you can conduct employee surveys. And you will see. You can know the parallels. You don't need to take it across 1,000 different companies to do the correlation. Within that same company, you can compare the performance of those two teams. And every time, and I very seldom use the words like every and all, every time, the delineation will be crystal clear. Those teams that truly are felt and valued at the individual level. And then when you truly talk about things like legitimate collaboration and environments that are, you know, employee-led, et cetera, it stands out every single time. And that's what we say is, you know, the greatest and the best, or the greatest, the best, and the worst and the poorest companies will be defined by that. Because when we talk about Generation Z, Dan, you and I have these conversations all the time. I mean, we were just talking before the call about your dialogue with Mercedes and some of the great things the leadership believes in that organization. And when you talk about Generation Z, the children of today, unless it's instilled to them at the parental level, they are far more forgiving, they are far more accepting, and they are much more willing to take people at face value. And that's why you're seeing so many of these startups do so well today, is because guess what? There's extremes in every situation, et cetera, et cetera. Get that qualifier out there. But the difference is this, the most common characteristic is it's less about me getting all the credit, and more about how do we make the world a better place, or how do we make a better product or a better app or whatever, and who do we know in this awesome world that has XYZ characteristic in their personality, skill, or capability, and let's bring all of them together. Oh, and by the way, we'll make some money on it. We'll figure out how we're going to pay everyone afterwards, but let's just go change the world and build something really cool and hit by bringing these folks together. It's a different thought process, Daniel. And I'm telling you right now, those companies that get it are going to continue to rise to the top. But I believe that the Fortune 50 of tomorrow is going to look much different than the Fortune 50 of today.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because one of the conversations I had in New York with a large bank that I was working with was, the question was, how does a 235-year-old institution put on its brakes and go a different direction? My comment to that was, well, while you're trying to figure that out, you'll go out of business.
That's right.
Because what you just said
That's
is so
dead
true.
On.
They just, you know, I mean, the world is just not what it used to be. And by the way, I'm very happy that it's not. I got to tell you that in the presentation that I did yesterday, Johnny, one of the things that came out of it was the millennials that were in the room. And this wasn't, for most part, this team was an older group. They have pockets in other parts of their business around the world that are more driven by millennials. But the millennials that were in the room came up to the executive that had brought me in to speak, and their comments to them about my presentation was, thank you for caring enough to bring someone in that speaks our language. Because I had said during the presentation that the only reason I'm here is because the millennials are pushing it forward. They don't accept our paradigm, our being people, baby boomers, or right at the edge of the baby boomer thing, that we're going to work until we get the watch. Well, there's no watch anymore. There's
right.
No watch. There's no pen. There's no pen.
No watch.
Yeah, there's no watch. There's no pen. There's no gold watch. There's nothing.
You get the certificate, you know? And it's not in a frame anymore.
That's right, and it's made on a printer. It's made on a printer in the office instead of a printer's office, you know. Yeah, so anyway, folks, if you're listening in, dial in at 347-677-1965. We'd love to have you on the show. This is a very timely conversation that we're having today because you can put your head in the sand and you can believe that it's not happening. But it is, and I want to kind of give you some ideas for those of you listening and may be going, well, who's doing it? I'm going to give you some companies that you may not know that are actually have some sort of mindfulness program to some degree. General Mills, big company. Apple, of course, we knew that. Google, obviously the same thing. Procter & Gamble. Aetna. Nike, AOL, Warner, Yahoo, HBO, eBay, Reebok, Medtronic, United Online, and Target. These are companies that have already created. Let's, for example, Target's a big company. Most people would know. Is training all its employees, and so far has since the beginning of their training in the area of meditation. Once a week at lunchtime, they've attracted 500 people in the company to be part of this once a week meditation that's been created for them. And this is the kind of thing that we're talking about. This is probably, Johnny, when we, you know, you being someone that probably had to watch the bottom line a lot, this is the one thing that doesn't cost you anything.
Okay.
There's no cost in it. You just got to do it.
But
the upside's huge.
Daniel, here's the difference, though. The upside is phenomenal, and here's the challenge, because you just said it. It doesn't cost you anything. But in most cases, with legacy thinking leadership, it doesn't happen from the top. The reason these groups are coming together is because it's being driven from the bottom up. It's being driven from employees who appreciate, understand, and have a passion, and it's part of their lifestyle, and they're the ones who are starting these. It's a groundswell, right? It's not, and again, we're painting with a very broad brush, so for those leaders out there that are actually doing this, you know, don't give me the ugly stare. Pick up the damn phone and call into the show and let's talk about it, right?
So,
I mean,
don't give me the ugly look.
Right. But it goes back to it's very difficult for companies, especially in the fast-paced environment where, you know, margins are slimmer. You've got to watch labor expenses. Heck, minimum wage is going to be $15 in plus in some parts of the country. They get all that. But it's very difficult, people believe, to attach an ROI. You know, what's the ROI?
Yes.
What's the return on investment? What's the return on investment if I sit down with Daniel for an hour or a half day as opposed to 30 minutes and do his performance review? Because I really want to know who and what Daniel is. And what's the return I get on that? And I'll tell you what, it'd be one of those spaces where I say is I don't think you can actually calculate how high the return actually is. Because when you take a diverse group, a very diverse and unique group, and here's the kicker about it, is it has to be people. Don't confuse like-minded with like-talented. So like-minded people share a common vision. They're passionate. They're loving. They're caring. I'm using an example of what like-minded. You can have like-minded people on the same team, but you don't want everyone to have the same talent. A team putting an entire team of quarterbacks on the field against an overall defense, you're going to get absolutely crushed, right? There's a reason
yep.
they have specialty players. There's a reason you have linebackers, tackles, right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Special
teams,
yep.
You don't want people right on, right? And this may sound like leadership 101, but I can assure you that not everyone understands this. But to make it that simple, if you have to have a team, if you can really understand what makes an individual tick, you'll find in every individual, I can promise you this, there is talent, skills, abilities, and passions that they have that can contribute in ways far beyond what they're contributing today. And you know what? They're aching to be asked. They're aching for time to be asked. And don't say, well, I schedule 30 minutes every week or every 2 weeks to sit down and do one-on-ones with them. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about time just to really hook up and genuinely understand and then do exercises where they're given the opportunity in that safe environment to talk about it amongst each other, share passions, build stronger relationships, foster a culture that pretty soon, guess what? The team will start leading. And you as a leader can spend your time in the strategic space and get out of the micromanaging element of it. That's what we need more of. And so these groundswell efforts that are happening from, you know what, we're going to have a session that's, you know, yoga for an hour in the afternoon is voluntary, or meditation, or, you know, Reiki, or energy healing, or whatever it is. I commend them for doing that. And you mentioned something a while back, Daniel, that I think it scares the heck out of a lot of people. So I want to be cautious how I mention this. And you talked about employee resource groups, how you are not a fan. And I want
right.
to make sure that we clarify, and I want to give my version of it and then allow you to do the same. There is nothing wrong with
no.
recognizing and bringing out the beauty of a specific culture, race, gender, or sexual preference. There is nothing wrong with calling that out and shouting it out from the mountaintops. Where it goes sideways on you is when you bring a group together and then exclude them for the purpose of them going off to build a strategy and bring it back into an organization. It's important to understand that it's the race, the gender, the sexual purpose, it's all of those things. That's one of many things that creates the beauty of a human being. And it's when you bring so many people together and you integrate all of those things, that's where you create the awesome rainbows, right? With
yes.
the endless colors and in the success stories. I mean, Daniel, help me understand, you know, help us all understand, you know, kind of your version. Is that along the same lines? Because that's, in my mind, how I define it.
Yeah. You know, I've said this more than once about diversity, and it's important. Don't get me wrong. I think diversity is important when you're hiring people because your company should represent your customer. I think it's important when you're procuring businesses to do business with, that the businesses that you support are in alignment with your customer. And in that sense, diversity has played a huge role. However, and I've had this conversation and had mixed bag, and some are for and some are against, what diversity does internally, not always, which, by the way, Johnny, I've been surprised to hear that most companies are moving away from ERG groups, employee resource groups, or diversity-driven groups to business resource groups, or doing away altogether with these groups and actually creating more mindfully connected groups of people. Like you said, I love the way that you frame like-minded versus like talent. You know, we can't have 50 quarterbacks. You know, you just can't have it. You got to have the special teams people, but they can be like-minded. And so I think that one of the struggles that we've had is that we got ahead of ourselves a little bit, and now we're stepping back because within the structure of a corporation, inwardly, if you separate everyone and everyone has their own mission statement, where's the mission awareness and social awareness that brings us to corporate oneness? It's not there. It doesn't exist because people are identifying with their particular group. Again, nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying anything that people haven't probably heard already or probably need to hear. Yeah, one of the things that's fascinating about what I've been doing, Johnny, and I hadn't had a chance to share this with you, is that I do a laughing meditation. In every single one of the speaking opportunities, I make them laugh for 60 seconds hysterically. The whole group. I don't care who's in there, the president, vice president, CEO. Everybody in the group has to laugh. And they do it. They do it. They laugh hysterically for 6 seconds. And then I stop. And I learned this from a dear friend of mine, Brigido Dove. And then I stop. And they got 60 seconds of silence. The feedback that I get from that, first of all, most people never stop 60 seconds. They never expend that kind of energy in order to be. And here's why I'm getting at. One of the results that they're getting from that is that they're realizing that when they stop from exerting that much energy, from laughing and having a good time, in that moment, in the gap, when there's absolute silence, in a room where you may have Indians and you may have people from Africa, you have people from U.S., you have people all over the world, everybody becomes one. There's no division.
Amen.
There's no division about color, sexual orientation, religion, male, female. Everyone becomes one because they create within themselves this corporate oneness that's not driven by diversity. It's driven by the one thing that I think you and I both try to let people know. And I start every presentation by saying this: we do not escape our humanness. We do not escape our humanness. In any way, fashion, or form, no matter what we are, what label we have, the lenses of experience that we judge each other by, the one commonality in this room, when we realize it, when we're connected to it, is that we are all breathing. And some of you are not. And so, Johnny, that's been the amazing part. That's been the amazing part. That they get that they're not different. They're different only in their experiences. And, you know, because the guys from UK are stoic and the people from over here are, you know, or this and that. And, you know, and this is what they were saying, that they, you know, they have a problem communicating. I said, you don't have a problem communicating with each other. You do communicate fine. You have a problem recognizing that you judge someone by the experience of the way you culturally were brought up. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Just don't hang your hat on that. So going back to what you were saying about oneness, is that in that moment when they stop meditating, laughing, and they have that 60 seconds of silence, you can just feel, it's palpable in the room, that there's this connection that we're all the same, period, the end. And diversity, I have experienced, does not do that. And here's the one thing that I love about mindfulness and oneness, and I share this also, is that this is the one area in all the different modalities that we've been taught in business to do, you know, great sales or all the different things that they have us doing. The one thing that you cannot fake is spirituality. You can't fake it.
That's right.
It has to be genuine and authentic in order for it to be real. And so this is what makes it so beautiful. So when they quit laughing, they can't fake it. It's like, and what is that? That's that sense of social awareness and community, likeness, like-mindedness that you talked about. They feel like they belong in that room with each other, period. And that's the magic that's created, Johnny, every time I get a chance to address. And the only people I've been addressing lately have been high-level executives, high-level people in high-level jobs. And you said something earlier that's really that I have to commend the people that have brought me in, because these are 2,000 or 3,000 people a day people. They're expensive,
right?
And they're taking an hour, 2 hours a day to come in there, but they realize the benefits of doing that, and the remarks that are coming out and the feedback that are coming out from the presentation are all worth it, because then the boss goes, I did the right thing even though I was told not to. So going back to the diversity thing, I have, for one, been a champion myself of diversity, but I realize that if you want to talk about what is the next step, where do we go, where do we evolve from diversity, is that we quit looking at all these things that make us different, and we start to focus ourselves on the things that make us alike, like-mindedness, not like talented, as Johnny said, but what keeps us alike. And the only thing that we can hang our hat on, all my life, Johnny, I've been thinking about, I love Nelson Mandela, I've read his story, I have dove into his life, I was sorry that he's no longer with us, but the only thing he could find to bring that country together was soccer. But he used it, and he did it, and he brought together a country. To bring our world together on a global basis, the only thing we have that we can hang our hat on, if we can just let go of the labels and all the things that we have that keeps us from seeing it, is our humanness. We're all human. We're all human. And in that moment, when we succumb to sleep, right before we close our eyes, we are all the same. We all worry about our children. We worry about our world. We worry about our work. We're all the same. And if we can connect to that humanness in that moment, then life is so much better, so much sweeter. And I think that's the one piece diversity doesn't bring to the table. And I'm sorry if, as Johnny said, you're giving me the stink eye right now, but pick up the phone and call us if you don't like it.
Right.
And let's talk about it. This is not about, you know, Johnny and I want to talk about it. That's why we're here. So, call us at 347-677-1965. Yeah, Johnny.
You know, it's as you say that, Daniel, I think about it. And as we talk about, and there's a lot of folks out there in the diversity space who say that, well, wait a second, don't downplay the, you know, stop focusing on the things that make us different and look at the things that make us similar. I think it's important that we clarify what that means. What we're talking about here is don't ignore the things that make us different. As a matter of fact, maybe this is progressive, right? Maybe this is oneness 601 or something. But what you have to do is stop, right? So first of all of us, because we're all human, we're all hypocrites, and we all judge. And I think it's the awareness of it and the effort to stop and catch ourselves when we do it. The backstabbing, the backbiting. Shame on us, right? So let's all acknowledge, first of all, that Johnny and Daniel, we're about as far from perfect that a human being can get. We're work in progress just like everyone else. That being said, let's just say for a moment, in the spirit of judging, in the spirit of those things that make us different, what we're not saying is forget the things that make us different. What we're saying is completely flip that on its head and say, rather than ignore the things that make us different, take the things that make us different and dig deep, but dig deep beyond skin color, beyond gender, beyond all that, because those things, and here's the other thing, look at them, how extraordinary and how beautiful they are, as opposed to what gender group they represent or what percentage of crimes happen here or all this, blah, who gives a damn, right? Get out of that noise. There's segments of every group, race, blah, 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 that represent good in opportune areas. What I'm talking about is those things that make us different, stop and as opposed to looking at them as to why are they different, appreciate the fact that it's along with, let's just use race, for example. What is it about that race, that culture, that part of the country, or whatever it is, and seek to understand. Find the beauty in those things that make us different, right? Don't just shrug it off and say, well, they're a human like me, they have the same problems, et cetera, et cetera. No, stop long enough and acknowledge the fact that, yeah, they are different, and but what's much deeper than that that makes them who they are? And I don't know if I articulated that probably as well as I'd wanted to, but I just want to make sure that people don't understand what we're saying. No one here is on this show is saying, you know, don't pay attention to those things that, you know, make us appear differently. That's not the conversation. What I'm saying is get much deeper than that, because those people, those companies, those places. Yeah, I've been lucky this last. Well, I'm always lucky. I'm always so damn blessed because I get to hang out. You and I've talked about this, like with the coolest people on the planet. And I was thinking just the other day, like, gosh, you know, I've really been energized by all the conversations I have. And then I stopped and I realized, like, well, Goofy, it's because you've been very purposeful around who you're going to hang out with and have coffee with and spend time on the phone with. And when you do that and they're like-minded, caring, loving people, and you start putting those people that God bless them, love them, and pray for them that tend to exude negative energy, you've got two options, right? You try to build them up, help them, and bring them into a better place. And or if you can't do that, then you just keep them, you know, politely out of your circle. Because when you hang around people with that like-minded energy, so well, something that you said, I pulled it up, there's actually an article in the Huffington Post, Daniel, about laughter and meditation. What's unique about it, it's physiological. It's physiological because the brain waves. So when you take people through that meditation, that exercise, that process in itself takes that entire room of 2,000, 3,000, and it creates the same. I'm the last guy to let me talk about science, that's for sure. I've got a son that just rolls his eyes at me when I try to speak about anything intelligent like that. But ultimately, they talk about the alpha waves that it sets up, and the gamma wave levels, and it's similar to what you see when a person meditates in the laughter. And that, you know, when they've watched spiritual videos, their brains produce significant alpha brain waves then as well, similar to what you see when they're at rest. But when you have everyone watching the same thing or experiencing the same thing, those positive, I call it positive energy, but from a physiological standpoint, those brain waves they're exuding are all like really cool stuff. It's the same thing in a worker societal environment where when you are in an environment or a culture that's positive, that's caring, that's loving, that's inclusive, that's about me as an individual and that ultimately rolls up into me as a broader team and that ultimately rolls up into all sorts of recognition because this team is so much more and they're so highly effective. Again, it's the same experience. It's those same positive waves. And then what happens is performance management gets about 10,000 times easier because those one or two employees that are inaccurately cast, they don't stick around. Not because you get rid of them, but because they don't sense the same energy, they don't feel they fit in, it's just they can't adapt, and they'll leave on their own. I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy in a very positive way, and it's you just can't understate the benefits of this. And it is the other thing, Daniel, it doesn't come easy, right? It doesn't come easy if it's not something natural, that's practice. And that's why we talk about Generation Z and the millennials. They're not smarter, it's just easier because of the environment they're growing up in. That's why people like you and I work with so many companies and individuals, far from perfection, to help navigate some of these waters. But gosh darn, it's a beautiful thing when it starts coming together.
Yes, it sure does. Well, we're out of time, folks. Well, what a beautiful topic. I think we want to go back to this maybe later in a few weeks and bring some folks on to really have a much deeper conversation with practitioners actually in the marketplace that are actually doing this. Or that are not doing this, and it's always good to hear their challenges or their lack of challenges, and I think it's always related to just the passion that the individual executive brings around the topic. So anyway, thanks a lot. Have a beautiful, beautiful day, and we look forward to we will be on the air again next week, which will be the 19th. We'll be taking a break for Thanksgiving, which will be on the 26th. And then coming back to you on December 3rd. My gosh, where has the year gone? Whew. Anyway, have a beautiful, blessed day. Until next time, please make sure that you send us an email. Let us know if you have any questions. We want to hear from you. 347-677-1965.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.